We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Loveline with Dr. Chris. Starts.
3, 2, 1.
Now.
All right, everybody. Hope you are getting through the week. Loveline is here. We're going to entertain you, challenge you, give you a few facts and figures, but more importantly, let you know that somebody's gotcha, because you know it's all about connecting and not feeling alone. A few things. I know we're all going through a difficult time right now. What's really fascinating is borders don't exist in that. Around the world, we're all going through a similar thing. We're all struggling. So just know that we need to be doing a little bit love and care, focusing more on compassion. I am working with the I'm Listening campaign, which, you know, is an initiative that was set up to help destigmatize talking about mental health. So along with the I'm Listening campaign and radio.com and Channel Q, I'm doing a live streaming show each night, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. And you can check it out on some of our Loveline pages. We'll be tweeting it out so you can find it. But by going to radio.com or wearechannelq.com, you can watch the live stream. And if you have a question about the coronavirus and mental health, you can ask the question by sending it to, tweeting it, I'm sorry, at hashtag I'm listening. And basically the whole purpose is it's a very difficult time. We want people to know that there's someone there that's got your back. We've got a lot of important experts weighing in on tips, tools, facts, and figures. But more importantly, I just want y'all to know that I'm listening, and that's why we are doing this campaign. So check it out. Again, 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern, each night at radio.com or wearechannelq.com. And again, I'll put all of it on my socials. I've been tweeting the heck out of it. So important stuff. Also, some celebrity guests coming up next week on it to weigh in. Excuse me. Also, again, just saying this whole compassion piece. I was teasing for tonight's show to talk about the Wendy Williams situation, and I'm going to unpack that, but I want to unpack it in service of a learning lesson. We need to really move away from negativity, and that's one of the things I hope that comes out of this COVID-19 pandemic, is that we have to do a little love and care. Now, Wendy Williams is constantly mocking people. She's mocked the disabled, made some anti-gay comments, mocked the murder of my dear friend, sex therapist here in LA, Ami Hardwick. And this time she was mocking the drag race contestant who is getting a lot of attention for having done some sexual assault by, you know, pretending to be a casting director and getting people to do things sexually that they don't want to do under the guise of getting roles. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I want us to kind of move away from some of this negativity. There's a lot of gossip television and whatnot. It's not going to make us feel better. I want us to really focus on nourishing self-care-based things, things that make us feel good, positive conversations. So I'm talking a lot about setting boundaries, boundaries around what we're watching, boundaries around the conversations we're letting people have around us, and saying to people, look, your mental health matters now more than ever. And use your body as a barometer, as a way to check in on, do I need to take a break from something? How's this making me feel? And really letting that guide you, self-care. Talk about it all the time, but now it's needed more than ever. So, you know, take that bath, go lay in the bath. Look, a lot of people aren't working, or if they are working, they're working from home. They have different boundaries. So take time away from your partner, your kids, or your work and lay in the bath, light candles, play music, meditate, read, get some movement, open the blinds, let some light in, open the windows, let some fresh air in, go for walks in isolated areas, 6 feet away from people. I mean, it's difficult. It's not forever, but check in on your mental health, because I'm really worried about some post-traumatic stress coming out of this. And so really check in on your anxiety levels and not letting yourself drop into some depression. We talked on other shows about really creating a schedule and a plan for your day so that you're feeling like there's purpose and meaning and being productive. Get up and shower, get dressed, pretend you're going to work, go to your dining room table or a different room and get some work done, but also have an endpoint. where you're then changing back out of your clothes, getting comfortable and napping and just eating foods and really not focusing on things. Look, a lot of people are worried about their body, right? Body dysmorphia and our body image issue stuff is flaring for a lot of people. And so take a break away from that and really sit with yourself and really reprioritize and don't stress so much about what you're eating. Not everyone has access to the foods that they want to eat, right? And we're doing a little self-care, so it's okay to eat a little bit more. But at the same time, I do want to talk about the fact that there are some foods that are going to be a little more nutritious and immune supportive than others. So foods that are a little more vitamin and phytochemical dense, fruits and vegetables, they're your best friend right now. Hydrating, getting enough sleep, and all that's going to be supported by taking a break away from social media and news that's really keeping you in a panic state. Again, it's really important to stay up on the facts and figures, listening to Loveline and all the shows here at We Are Channel Q. We've got that covered, but I also want you to let some joy and fun in your life. So watch those movies, play that music, laugh. I found some great new songs and music. I'm moving my body, trying to work out in my place, playing music, laughing, eating the foods I normally might not let myself eat. So just really kind of letting go of all those different things. But social distancing, we're not taking it seriously enough. So later in the show, we'll have Jay Rodriguez from the original Queer Eye joining us to talk about what's going on. I'm seeing pictures of spring break. People still aren't taking it seriously. And we're also going to be joined later in the show by licensed therapist Rebecca Shida to talk about ways to cope with our partners, because a lot of people are stuck at home and they're not going to work or they're not able to separate because they're quarantining together and, you know, tempers are flaring. So we got your back covered. But coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about how to talk to your kids about what's going on, because those little nuggets, they get anxious. So stick around for that. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
Okie dokie doke. We're back. We got your back, though. We're trying to cover everything related to COVID-19, but also giving you a little entertainment. But more importantly, check out the I'm Listening, Stay Connected campaign. I'm Listening is an initiative to help destigmatize talking about mental health every weeknight from 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard at wearechannelq.com and radio.com. I'll be talking about the intersections of mental health and also social isolation and everything related to COVID-19. We've got special guests and experts, so check that out. If you have any questions for us there, you can, though, tweet them at hashtag I'm Listening. Okay, so I'm looking at this bad boy, and I saw this driving into the station tonight. Marijuana sales spike at the L.A. dispensaries, up 30%. Yeah, I believe it. I saw lines. Lines as long as the Trader Joe's lines. Now, look, you know, plant medicine, medicinal marijuana, there's a lot of anxiety going on. And, you know, we don't always have the internal capacities to deal with everything that's happening outside of us. And that's why we're talking a lot about ways we can kind of soothe ourselves. And for some people, it's use of marijuana. So those that do that, you'll do your thing. Okay. Let's talk about how to discuss this with the little nuggets, your kids. So first off, children are listening to your conversations. They are watching the news with you, and they're also internalizing some of the anxiety that you might be, you know, putting around the house. So it's important to maybe address that. Now, the first way you do that is, first off, always remember it's got to be age appropriate, right? Because you don't want to flood or overwhelm the children. So just remember who your audience is, right? But the way to kind of start that is just often ask questions like, hey, have you been hearing what mom and dad have been talking about? Or have you heard what mom and mom have been listening while watching the news? Like, tell me what you hear or know is going on. And they'll start to give you a sense as to like where their thought process is, if they're anxious, if they need some gaps filled in. But often, again, asking questions is a really good way to just kind of figure out where they are so you can meet them where they are, right? Because it's all about reassuring them. The younger they are, the more they need reassurance. The older they are, you can start to talk about boundaries and self-care and social distancing. But the youngins, that's not really where their mind is. So again, age-appropriate facts, always. But the first piece is just about washing hands. So for some young toddler-aged, it's just about paying attention to their hygiene, right? Making sure that they're not touching too many surfaces because, you know, God bless you if you can get all surfaces disinfected. I was looking at my home and I was walking around, I was thinking, oh my God, if I had a child right now, I don't know how I'd protect them. There are so many things that can be touched. And so it's really important to talk about just washing hands and germs. And maybe that's as far as that needs to go. Also, just talking about them, how to manage the spreading of germs. So coughing in your arm. And that's something that's really basic. So it's really about healthy habits. Also, just talking about eating healthier foods, just as a way to get them to really be mindful of what they're putting in their body, because that's going to really impact health and immune functioning. And also just closing conversations out with care, making sure that they're not left anxious or they're not left with questions unanswered. Because again, the whole purpose of these conversations is to make sure everyone's getting their needs met and it feels secure. And the older they are, teenagers, it's about really dispelling myths. So that's why, again, asking open-ended questions like, so, you know, share with me what you are aware of around COVID-19. Like, tell me what it is. How do we protect ourselves? What have you heard on the news or from your friends, and let them share with you where their mind's at. And then you can say, okay, well, that element, what you just shared isn't true. So let me correct that with you, or let's go on the internet together and look at reliable sources. Unfortunately, the president would not be one. So you can have that loving conversation. Cause I was just looking at something that he said on air that was dispelled by the World Health Organization immediately. So also going to like the CDC and saying like, let's really look at what the facts are, so we know that we're getting accurate information, and then talk to them about taking breaks away from social media. Hey, honey, you know, notice how you get really anxious when you keep fact checking. And I know that you're doing that because you're scared. But actually, what might help is to turn off the news or to stay off that on social media. And let's play a video game together. Let's play a board game or do a puzzle. Or let's put on a movie and just laugh. Or let's go in the kitchen and get some ice cream. Presence is going to be very helpful and dispelling myths. Now, when they get even older, you can start to talk about, you know, they're in their 20s. Now you're just talking about truth and reality. What are you worried about in terms of your job? What about dating and sex? Are you keeping 6 feet away from everyone? Are you not seeing your boyfriend or girlfriend? And here's why it's important that you're not. Talking about flattening the curve and not going to parties. And again, talking about distancing and hygiene. And also just what they think life might be like after this, right? Because a lot of people are catastrophizing and wondering if this is going to go on endlessly, and is there an end in sight? You can talk about how in China, new cases aren't developing, and just kind of really walk them through and hold their hand. And then again, if you're there with another adult, you can be even more honest and talk about your relationship and using each other to co-regulate, because we don't really want to be using the children to do that. But with other adults, you can say, hey, let's be really thoughtful about the conversations we're having with each other. And hey, honey, I'm here if you need to talk about your thoughts or anxieties, like I can hold that space for you. Or even saying the opposite. We're talking a lot about this, and it seems as though we're both getting overwhelmed, let's take a break. Or I'm getting overwhelmed and I want to be supportive, but now is not the best time. I'm trying to settle myself. Maybe reach out to another friend, or maybe let's focus on, you know, other distracting activities. So handle that. I love that, because this whole love and dating thing, I keep hearing people talk about that. Coming up next, we got Jay Rodriguez joining us, and we're actually going to be digging deeper in, and we're going to be talking about some of the things we're seeing in the news with spring break still going strong, and the winter party, the white party, and even, God bless it, the social media apps, sex and dating apps, they are supposedly on fire. So Jay Rodriguez will be joining us, and then we'll be sliding into those DMs. You're listening to Love Line with Dr. Chris on the new Channel Q and radio.com.
Love Line. This is Love Line with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.
All right, we're back, and tonight we're talking with Mr. Jay Rodriguez, the OG original Queer Eye and former morning show host. What's going on, Jay?
Hey, thanks for having me back, Dr. Chris. I think this is the show I've done the most since my departure from the queue.
Well, the bar's high now, boo. You're on the top show on the station, right?
I mean, what a gift. That's right.
Well, we always love your input. And, you know, I wanted to have you come back on, because last time you were on, we were talking about how social, you know, media, sex and dating apps are blowing up. So I wanted to kind of talk more about that. But I also wanted to fold in that I'm watching the news and I'm seeing how spring breakers are still going and doing spring break. And white party happened.
Yeah, let's walk through just the timeline as it pertained to my life.
Okay.
Last Thursday, exactly 1 week ago, I have a job at a nightclub where I produce this fun party at Revolver called The Vibe, and it wasn't called off. Now, mind you, I perform above the bar. It's like 15 feet above patrons, so social distancing for me,
that's right,
but not necessarily for the patron.
Yes.
However, when I came down and I was like far enough away to ask you, I was like, so you weren't nervous to come or whatever? And they were all like, they had this very cavalier attitude that I kind of was like a little bit shocking. And they were basically saying like, no, it's going to happen like to me or not happen to me. But anyway, long story short, they didn't seem to really care. And I thought, I just said, okay, let me put a pin in that. And then flash forward to you know, we started talking when I was home, isolating a little bit more, turn on the social media because, you know, you don't want to be disconnected from society. And I couldn't believe how venomous people got and in their feelings when I was like, well, let's just chat and then, you know, meet up after this all blows over. Everyone seemed to think, and maybe it was the age group, but that this was a moment in time that people were overreacting to. So let's talk about Miami White Party. Oof. That is for the Miami Task Force. I hosted their gala 2 years ago, so I'm quite familiar with the charitable organization that these ticket sales benefit.
Right.
However, when you were talking about a circuit party, which is what that leg of that charitable evening,
and we're talking about thousands of thousands of thousands of people.
Yes. On the beach in Miami, sweaty, possibly on some kind of party narcotics, because in circuit culture, that's just a given. And so you already know going into it, after rules have been put in place for social distancing, that you're throwing an event that sole purpose is about physical touch and being near each other for people who really don't have 100% of their wits about them because they're under the influence of something.
And let me point this out. In the past 24 hours, there's been a 40% increase in positives. So things aren't flattening. And so when I'm hearing things like the White Party, and again, talk more about it, because not only did that happen, but people were unwilling to be apologetic about the fact that they might be coming home and putting a multitude of other people at risk.
That's right. I believe there was someone who was affiliated either with the charity or was a patron of in a big way. And he posted a shirtless picture of himself with the party behind him and said, I will not, you know, apologize for being there. It was for a charitable organization. I had the best weekend with my friends while you guys, probably because of your low bank account, mind you, I'm paraphrasing. But he basically said that the people who were trying to, you know, talk about the safety aspects of it all were basically just jealous and that they missed out on a great time. And he's not going to apologize to anyone. And if he does come back positive, that now he knows who to cough on.
Okay,
so
there's classism, right? There's also some healthism. Like, congrats on having awesome health care, awesome resources, but not everyone does. And that's what I keep trying to say. It's so self-centered to only consider the impact on yourself. Great. I'm glad you're not worried about getting sick. But guess what? Everyone else is. And it's spread primarily by touch. And it's living on surfaces for multitude of days. So all of those thousands of people are now taking that home if they're positive.
Right. So flash forward to this weekend in Miami. I think it was about a week ago. Now we have this week right now and the weekend that we're approaching. Miami obviously is a big hot spot for spring break. So people fly from all over the world, if not, you know, just the U.S., to party there. And like I said earlier, with these kind of parties, you're up close and personal. There's certainly not 6 feet of distance between all you. And the photos that came back were really shocking of people so close. Not only that, the interviews of people who felt this was being, and I don't know if it's generational, but I think that is why the media has really tried to highlight the number of new cases that were people who are much younger than originally thought that are coming out of Italy and right here at home.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. Again, it's the disregard, and that's what I keep trying to harp upon. You know, this isn't forever, and if we're not willing to look out for each other and just stay home and sit on the couch, like, my God.
But it hasn't even been a week yet.
I know.
Like, hasn't even been like social distancing, maybe just over a week of social distancing that we've been hearing that term. But really, that's as far as people's attention span can take them. Or, you know, the idea that, you know, maybe I don't know what I was like when I was younger, but I don't think I had a pandemic like this to worry about.
No,
certainly we had 9/11, but nothing like this. And I would like to think that immediately I had a sense of, oh my God, this is real. Then again, I'm science and fact based kind of person. You know,
well, what I'm thankful about here in LA is that they've put a shelter in place order that just came in at 5:30 p.m.
That's
going to not allow those events to occur. But again, California's been handling it pretty well. We're talking about events in other states, and I wish that their local government and also their governor would step in and handle this differently.
I mean, what do you think? I mean, you know, you work with people with all different kinds of personalities all the time, and you know the human psyche. When you talk about millennials, you talk about the Z generation or whatever, what do you think, what will it take? Because the stats and the, you know, the news, everything, the facts are out there, but it doesn't seem to be having much impact. In fact, what's her face from Lost? Evangeline Lilly or whatever? She sent her kids to gymnastics. I think
it's
yesterday.
We were last night on the show. We were showing a clip from Vanessa Hudgens, who was making jokes drunkenly. I was hoping that more celebrities coming out, that that might somehow make it real, that the NBA players, a multitude of them, that that would make it real. State officials, wives, that would make it real. I think that there's an invincibility that comes with being of a younger age. Also, for some of them, look, if we want to look at it in a biological way, their prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed, and that's the part of our brain that really gives us judgment and boundaries and impulse control. So I'm hoping that there'll be a shift in that. And unfortunately, if that doesn't happen, I'm hoping that the government will swoop in and kind of set those needed boundaries. Mr. It's J. Rodriguez, where can people find you?
Well, at J-A-I Rodriguez on all social media platforms. I'm active on all of them. And thank you so much, Dr. Chris Donahue and Loveline. I love having chats with you guys. And hopefully soon it'll be in studio and we'll all be talking about how we made it through.
Oh, God. I hope so, too. All right. Coming up next, we're going to be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline. This is Loveline with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back. Question of the night. It's up on our Loveline IG page. Tonight's question is about the things you let pass in order to stay with someone, and then you break up and you look back and you go, huh, why did I ignore that bad boy? All right, we'll be breaking that on down, but guess what? Right now it's time to slide into those DMs.
Sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms because it's a big old sexy world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris, almost 2 months ago, I went on a date with this guy from an app. He was very cute, my type, but no click in the personality at all. He said he wanted to meet up again and made suggestions, but I got super busy. And I would say, hey, here and there, but no conversation came of it. This Saturday, he sent me a text. He said, damn, I haven't been ghosted in years. And I replied, I haven't ghosted. I'm right here. And he hasn't answered any of my texts since then, and I'm really hurt by it. How do I recover from being ghosted, and should I keep reaching out? No! You know, ghosting is a communication. It's a horrible one. There's no compassion or care in it. But someone ghosting you is them saying, not interested. I wish they would just say that, though. I mean, it's such a loving thing when someone cares enough to be like, hey, you know, it's great hanging out with you. Fortunately, the chemistry's not really there. Take care. I've sent that to people before. I've had it sent to me. My response is always, thanks. You know, bummer, all the best, you know? So no, please stop reaching out. We really want to be thoughtful about people's boundaries when they're set. Horrible communication, but that's essentially what it's saying. So to the listeners, stop ghosting people. We say that all the time. How do you recover from it? You know, in some ways you kind of don't. It hurts. You were rejected. And it's okay to feel the pain from that. I don't want it to all be better. I want people to get really comfortable leaning into their emotions. You were let down. It's okay. You said you didn't click. So I want you to kind of lean into that as well. That, you know, it didn't feel good to get rejected. But, you know, as attractive as I found this person, our personalities weren't a match. And that's going to happen. And in fact, that's what's supposed to happen. You know, we go on dates often thinking our goal is to be liked and that we have to get this person. But no, a date is about being known, not being liked. And often in being known, we realize we're not a match. And that's a successful date to realize, hey, thought you were hot. We sat down. It's really not there for us. So we're not meant to be in a romantic or sexual relationship, and that's okay. And so just do better next time. You know, when you realize that the click isn't there, don't keep pushing forward, right? Because part of a romantic sexual relationship is that click needing to be there. So just kind of move forward differently, but you don't recover from it as much as you just kind of move on and the sting shifts. But, you know, it stinks to be rejected, but that's kind of part of it. Look, I've had to say this to people before. Dating is often hurting and being hurt until you wind up with someone where all the compatibilities are there and something sustainable possibly happens and you move into the future with them. But if not, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not a success, right? Because the length of time doesn't determine its success. So sorry that happened, but keep dating. That's part of that process. You know what I mean? So get back out there, go see someone else. But again, you know, honor the boundary. Ghosting. I can't wait to hear about that anymore. All right, coming up next, we got Rebecca Sheeta joining us for couples therapy. We're going to be talking about, you know, COVID-19, but also ways for couples to manage it cooped up together. Listen to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back. And now it's time for a little couples therapy.
Couples therapy.
So, of course, we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Sheeta joining us. What's up, Rebecca?
Not much. Just staying at home, you know.
Good. You're trying to flatten that curve.
Flatten that curve. That's right.
I mean, we laugh, but I'm proud of you because, again, I was just talking in an earlier segment with Jay Rodriguez about the white party event happened. There are people down in Florida doing spring break. They are raging.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that?
I saw that. That's so crazy. I just can't understand that.
Do you think that that is, you know, me and Jay were kind of hypothesizing this. Do you think it's that the younger generations just feel invincible? Is it that they just have the money and the healthcare? What do you think that's about?
I think they do think it's that they're invincible. I mean, I think even some older people think that too, but I definitely think they think they're invincible because, you know, they're younger. They probably, a lot of them may be unsymptomatic, asymptomatic if they get it. And so they're not so worried. They think, oh, I'll get through it. I'll be all right. But the truth is it's affecting people ages 20 through 54. I mean, people that are younger are also being hospitalized. So it's really can impact them as well.
And you have teenagers. Are you having to help impress upon them the seriousness of this, or are they naturally just seeing it as serious?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. My kids, they understand the seriousness of it, but they don't seem very worried.
Okay.
Right? So they both are, you know, hunkering down at home, but they don't seem very concerned. My mom is like 77, so I'm obviously concerned about that. And now there's just Mayor Garcetti was just on and announcing that we're going moving more and more towards sort of a lockdown situation.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's very serious. And I think it, because it's so silent and so many people, even if they have it, are asymptomatic, people aren't so worried.
And that's my concern is like the word you just used, the silence of it, that it's not necessarily such a powerful visual. I'm also worried about the familiarization, that as people start to get comfortable with just hearing these shocking facts and it just being out there, that they might stop taking it as seriously. So that's why I'm trying to keep some of these really triggering, punchy statistics being shared. So it's like, oh no, don't think that, like, we're out of the woods yet. Like, the numbers are actually growing. It's quite shocking if you're actually looking at the higher numbers. I think I was just looking at the stat that within the past 24 hours, 40% increase. That's a huge number.
Right. And I guess they're saying something about maybe 50% of Americans will end up having it. That's what I heard, which seems crazy to me. But, you know, I think we need to look at other countries and see what they've gone through and realize we're not immune to it. We will
right.
be those countries.
That's
you
right.
know, China, Italy, if we don't take the precautions, it's going to spread. And so really stay home.
So for parents that are struggling with teenagers that are like, it's fine, mom, you're not, you know, you're being too overly cautious, what would you say to them? Would you say to them, look, you have to force your children to stay in, don't bend? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I mean, definitely force them to stay in.
I think
that, you know, it's really important to be very honest with them and explain that, yeah, you may not think this will impact you, but the bottom line is it's about maybe it will impact you as a young person. But the idea is if you spread it to someone else, they're saying you spread, like, one person can spread to probably about four people. That's what they're saying.
Wow,
and so
okay.
then think about it exponentially, what that looks like. And it's terrifying. So it's about containing it.
I hadn't heard that. One person could spread it to four. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think, you know, with the fact that we're not really there aren't a lot of tests right now available to us, the numbers are obviously low because people aren't getting tested. So, you know, that's how it works. I mean, in South Korea, they're testing 12,000 people a day. So that's why that's, you know, they're getting numbers because of that. So
Yeah, and I was looking at an article just a couple minutes ago, and it was breaking my heart because, you know, we're so thankful for the service workers that are still giving us access to take out food and to grocery store shelves being full and stocked and checking us out. But I saw that at Costco, someone came down with it, and then a multitude of other people, I think the number as high as 19, also then came out positive.
Wow. I think that It's very scary, and it's the unknown. We don't know what this is going to look like. It's almost, I think, to a degree, it's so surreal that people almost don't believe it.
Yeah.
So it's very scary. It's scary times.
Yeah, and again, that's why it's that dual paradox of, on one hand, keep looking at the news so you understand the severity and things that are changing, but also taking a break from looking at the news and not needing to be updated minute by minute because you need to give yourself a break, right?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And then get involved in activities at home. Do things at home maybe you haven't been able to get to, you know, clean that closet out, you know.
Is that what you're doing? If I was at your place,
would I see
you cleaning out closets?
Yeah, I don't know how often that really happens, but I plan on doing that, actually.
Okay.
This time.
You're cooking a lot.
Sure.
I noticed online that you're doing a lot of cooking. So are you recommending that?
Oh, yes. So I definitely recommend cooking. And that's a fun thing to do with your kids, too, is, you know, baking, making cookies or cakes. It's a nice time for them to learn how to cook, too. So it's great family time. So I do like doing that for sure.
I like that whole idea. For the first time, people are all home together. So you might actually get that family dinner that you've been dreaming about or seeing on television. You know what I mean?
Right. It does create a lot of togetherness right now, for sure.
Make those kids learn all those skills.
Exactly.
Because that's the other thing. Like, I have a stack of 14 books I've been wanting to read, and it's like, well, this weekend, you'll get to read them all. God bless it.
That's so true. It's so true. Books, or even if you're like, oh, I wonder what this museum looks like or whatever, they're like, you can go online and you can go do virtual tours of different museums or of different colleges. Right now, my son's 17 and he's not going to be able to see schools that he gets into. So he has an opportunity now to go online and do a virtual tour. So those things are kind of cool too.
Well, stick around with us. When we come back, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about tips for couples that are trapped home together and some of the conflict is a building and they want to figure out how to kind of work through that. So stay with us, Rebecca. You're listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right, we're back and we're doing couples therapy. So of course we've got licensed therapist Rebecca Ishida with us. So in our last segment, we were just talking about some of the new stats and facts and how some of the youngins are feeling invincible and the importance of flattening the curve. But I wanted to change gears a little bit and talk about couples. Now, often when some of the emotional intensity gets raised up, you can sometimes go to work for the entire day, go to the gym. There's so many ways we can escape. But now that we're doing self-isolation, and even here in LA, they just did a shelter in place, which is even further limiting our ability to leave. Couples are kind of trapped together. So what tips are you giving couples that are home together and they're starting to get on each other's nerves, or they want to prevent that happening?
Well, a few things. I mean, if they're getting on each other's nerves, it's always good to go to your own space. Hopefully you have a space to go to. Maybe that's, you know, a closet or a bathroom or another room, and you can meditate or light a candle and do some deep breathing and just get away from the person that's bothering you.
I love that. It's strange times, and so you have to get really creative. And you're right. For some people, based on the size of their dwelling, it might be a closet or the bathroom. But it's like, close the door, put on some music, get into the tub, tell your partner, I'm taking some time away. Look, I'm working with some individuals who are creating their own personal spaces like that. They're meditating in there, they're sleeping, they're reading.
That's great.
But it's like, limit your time together. Full immersion all the time around the clock is definitely going to lead to some issues. So what do you tell couples that have unfortunately kind of drifted into those really triggering conversations? I've told them, shelve all conflictual talk unless it immediately needs to be addressed. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. Now is not the time. And in fact, I think now is a time to sort of even become a little objective in the issues you have. Not to say those issues aren't issues and aren't still there, but oftentimes what it can do is make you realize, is this really an important issue? Is this something that maybe even after this has passed, I'll realize, you know what, that wasn't that big of a deal. I can let it go. You know, so I think that at this time we start to realize the things that are important and the things we can let go of. So
I
think it's kind of a nice time.
Yeah, it's like a little mini couples therapy you do on your own.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, you start to realize, like, oh, this is pretty serious. Like, thousands of people, and it sounds dreadful to say, but thousands of people, and they're saying, well, even hundreds of thousands of people can die in the States. And so to me, it's like, well, let's start to really think about what's important.
Yeah.
What's valuable to us? What's a battle and what's not a battle?
I love that. And that's a tool that I hope that couples will internalize and take forward beyond this. But I love that. Like, what's a meaningful battle and what's not? And checking in on that, right? If you feel like you're getting dysregulated, like, check in on your body. I keep saying over and over, our body's going to be the best barometer for when we're getting beyond what's going to be a productive conversation. And so if you're feeling really overwhelmed, say, hey, you know what? Like, let's pause this. I'm going to take a minute away, or let's come back to this tomorrow. But like, you know, it's that whole thing where people say, don't go to bed angry. No, no, no. Go to bed angry. Don't just battle it out to get it finished. Sometimes we have to be willing to kind of just hold those emotions and circle back. Yeah?
Absolutely. 100%. Especially for some of us who are oftentimes overwhelmed by our emotion. And in that moment, it feels so pertinent to say something to battle it out. And so it's a good time to really be able to contain and sit with things and really try to work on letting things go more. I know that's something that I really try to work on.
The let go. When in doubt,
yeah,
let
the
go.
Let go part. Yeah,
now, what about couples that are not able to be quarantining together? I'm advising a lot of use of technology. You know, you might not be seeing the person you're dating for weeks. It could even be months. We're not really quite sure. And so I'm saying you want to hear their voice and you want to make as much eye contact as possible. And so I'm saying texting's adorable, but maybe try to build in some FaceTiming, some Skyping, so you can see them. You'll feel a little more soothed, right?
Right. I even know somebody who did, this is kind of cool, a virtual dinner party. So she actually dressed up, got her makeup on, did this whole thing, and then had a virtual dinner party with friends. You can do that with your partner. You can have a romantic dinner, but like virtually.
Well, you know what? All my boo-boo's getting is me with messy hair and sweatpants with like half a donut hanging out of my mouth because I'm not trying to comb my hair and get dressed up and throw no dinner party virtually. Adorable for those that
can do
that.
I love you. Yeah. I love you, Chris.
But
so
you are not getting that from me right now. It's going to be one of those moments where I'm going to really test how much you love me because you're going to be getting my worst visually.
That's so fantastic. And that's maybe what it also brings up too, is just the realness. Like when we start to like strip away the layers and you know, you get wipe away the things that are not real, like it becomes really authentic. And so I think that that's an opportunity here too, to really strengthen the intimacy in your relationship. Maybe have more sex and like explore that a little more because you're going to have time to do that. So it's a good time to do that for sure.
you sure are. Oh my God. It's like, you got to utilize all the resources available. But, I was just thinking about that cause, you know, I was talking to a client earlier and they were talking about the difficulty in the long distance. And I was like, this is where our sexuality gets to really be able to get creative, right? Like sexting, video sex, all those kinds of things. Like we're having to pull out all the stops. But I keep saying, just remember everybody, this isn't forever. This is just for right now. Take it all seriously, because I was talking again earlier with Jay Rodriguez and we were talking about the fact that people are still on apps trying to go on dates and hook up. And I was like, dear God,
oh my gosh,
like, please pause the dating.
Crazy.
Like I get the importance of social connection. Do that with your friends and family from a distance, but like, please don't be going on dates. You know what I mean? Get to know each other the old fashioned way. Yeah, it really is. It's not going to help what we're
doing. And actually, it is a nice time to kind of create more emotional intimacy. You're going to have to rely on that more.
That's right.
You know, texting, if you've just met someone and you were going to go on a date or you just started dating, you're going to have to rely more on texting or writing a letter or, you know, or whatever, something sweet and, you know, all those kind of more romantic things.
Or
definitely more reliance on that.
Or from me, it's going to be a really horribly FaceTime. Because I'm not trying to comb my hair.
With your vegan donut. Your non-dairy vegan donut
hanging out of my mouth. You know me way too well. We've known each other too long. Rebecca Ishida, thank you so much. Where can people find you?
They can find me at RebeccaIshida.com or HungryBecca is my Instagram account.
All right. Beautiful. Stay well. Coming up next, it's our question of the night. So there's still a little more time to weigh in on that. And then we'll be sliding into those DMs. Listening to Loveline with Dr. Chris on the new channel Q and radio.com.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on channel Q.
All right. We're back. Time for question of the night.
Question of the night.
All right, tonight's question is, what's the worst thing you overlooked while dating someone? Y'all did not disappoint with these answers. I have to censor some of them because y'all went all in. So, worst thing you overlooked while dating someone. First off, someone said, their lack of social media. Yeah, it's strange these days when someone doesn't have social media. It's like, what are you hiding? Nah, but some people are not wanting to partake in all that, right? I mean, I haven't been posting that often either. It's just not as meaningful these days, but I hear you. Someone else said their terrible work ethic in love, life, and labor. Yeah, I mean, that's the triple threat right there. Man, you can't overlook all that. Jesus, what's left at that point? Somebody else said, as far as question night, what do you overlook while dating someone? They said verbal abuse. Oh, yeah, don't overlook that. Cut that, nip that in the bud right away. Set those boundaries. Hey, you can't talk to me like that. If you're going to continue to do that, I'm out. There's other ways to express your frustration. Someone else said he didn't want a serious monogamous relationship and drug abuse. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a lot. not everyone's built for monogamy, and you got to find those that are, but the drug abuse, I'm sorry they struggled. Someone else said, what they overlooked is while on our date, I saw him texting another girl setting up a date with her. Yeah, that's rough and that's real. I call stuff like that. I once went on a date with someone, they rolled in with a hickey. Now, we weren't monogamous, so that's allowed. They're trying to hide it. I finally had to be like, yo, I see you got a hickey. Stop trying to hide it because it is hot out and you were wearing a zip-up hoodie and I see that thing peeking out and like, let's just keep it real. Someone else said, as far as worst thing you overlooked while dating someone, that they still lived with their ex. Well, not everyone can financially handle moving out during a breakup. Sometimes they've settled into a friendship. So, you know, it depends. Someone else said moodiness. I've been there. I can't date moody anymore. I really can't. I used to be moody myself. Moody plus moody is not a good thing. I'm less moody these days, but I can't date moody either. It's rough. Other things you overlooked while, other things that were badly overlooked while dating someone. Someone said, I dated a liberal who loved Obama. Nightmare. You know what, Republican? What do you say now with your cuckoo president saying all the crazy stuff that literally the World Health Organization is saying, please ignore the president who's gaslighting us? Yeah, touche. Someone else said things that they overlooked while dating someone. Bum-ba-da-bum, that she was a feminist. Excuse me, we need more feminism. Okay? Y'all are breaking my heart right now. Other things you overlooked, the fact that she used me and never loved me. Married for 8 years. Oh, I'm sorry. You hung in there a long time. The question of the night was things you overlooked while dating someone. You married that person for 8 years. That's a different question of the night. Someone else said the true reason he minimized and trivialized my bulimic disorder. I'm sorry to hear that. That's horrible. I mean, you want the person you're dating to be someone who really legitimizes the things that you're struggling with and kind of helps you cope and support. So that's horrible. I'm sorry to hear that. Someone else said possessiveness. Bam. Someone else said I got to skip over some of these. You guys are heartless. Someone else said broken, unmotivated, and resentful when things aren't going well. Okay, that's rough. That's rough. Someone else said they made fun of my body. Bam, out. Not going to happen. First time, if I dated someone that had any kind of commentary on my body, I'd say, yo, that is what it looks like. That is what it is. You either love it or you got to leave it. You're out. Like, I set those boundaries quick. I'm not interested in someone's thoughts about my body unless it's positive. Someone else said, they weren't giving me the love I needed. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Someone else said, alcoholism and a developing drug habit. Yeah. Talk it out. I talked about that, how my ex-fiance, early on, I saw a drinking problem and I said, yo, if you want to keep spending time together and dating, you got to get that handled. And they went sober. Yep. Stayed sober the entire time we were together. Beautiful thing. Someone else said the current relationship status. Yes, that's real. Don't overlook that, depending on what that means. Somebody else said I was the backup in case the relationship went south. Yikes. Yeah, you were the plan B, but you knew it and you hung in there. What was that about, right? We learn about ourselves in some of these answers. Somebody else said, ready for this? They cheated on me 14 times. What do they say? The first five, it's their bad. The second five, it's your bad. Oh, I'm sorry. Come on, like work on that self-esteem. I'd want you to have maybe done something different next time. Somebody else said, what things you overlooked, that they were Trump supporter. Yeah, no. Nothing you can overlook. That's a deal breaker immediately. That kind of ridiculousness, no time for that. Not these days. Not right now. Again, there's a lot of people talk about drinking and drug addiction. Someone else said excessive drinking. You know, again, you try to hang in there, hoping they'll clean up, get it together. You know, that's one of the things you're allowed to leave, though. If someone has an undealt with mental health issue or addiction issue, you want to stay connected and close and maybe help them, but maybe not time to be in a relationship. They don't really have much to offer, and they really need to be working on their sobriety, right? What else did y'all say? Bump it a bum. New girlfriend said I should be happy she didn't go through my things when I wasn't home. Yikes. No, that's a given. I'm going to assume you're not going to do that. I'm not going to be happy that you didn't, as though you would have or should have. Somebody else said that they were constantly talking and texting with an ex that they wanted back with. Well, that's different if the ex wants in and they want back. Otherwise, friends with exes, I think, is a good thing, right? Somebody else said that moving in with their kid's mother a year into our relationship. Yeah, that's a lot to deal with. Like, that ain't good. All right, thanks. So there's a participator coming up next. Slide in into those DMs. Listening to Loveline, Channel Q, radio.com.
Loveline.
With Dr. Chris.
On Channel Q.
All right, we're back. Time to slide into those DMs.
sliding into the DMs.
Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world, and we want you to explore with confidence. Just a heads up, every night I'm doing I'm Listening Stay Connected. It's a partnership with the I'm Listening Initiative, as well as Rita.com. We are Channel Q, and it's a live stream with experts, and we'll be talking about the intersections of mental health and corona and self-isolation and social distancing. So check it out. It's at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, again at radio.com or at wearechannelq.com. Answering all your questions. So if you got a question for that, you can do it at tweeting hashtag I'm listening. Good stuff. Check it out. Be back on Monday with that. All right, DM. Here we go. Hey, Dr. Chris. I was in a relationship with someone I thought was great. Unfortunately, she betrayed me in a horrible way, and now I suffer from some form of PTSD. It's been 4 months since the relationship ended, and I can't get over it. On Friday night, we had a small argument. She left my home in the middle of the night and had sex with the very first stranger she could find on Tinder. She came back home after having sex with him with a huge bite mark on her neck, and even the guy's semen still on her. She didn't even shower, and she came back home with the exact same clothes she left. I kicked her out and haven't seen or spoken to her since then. But I, for some reason, need closure and to know why she would do something so hurtful. What do you think about this? Yeah, you know, let's break it on down. People don't always have the best coping mechanisms, and whatever happened, happened. And unfortunately, of all the different ways she could possibly choose to kind of deal with what happened, I'm sorry that she took such a hurtful thing and then brought it home and wanted to kind of rub your face in it, essentially, right? So she needs better coping. So either that was a really bad moment for her, or she's letting you know in general just how unhealthy she is, right? And maybe you're better off with someone who's got healthier processing relational conflict skills. But also this whole idea of closure, we don't often get it. Rarely will we get it. We have to be okay with that. And I think people often misuse the word closure. What would that mean for you? Because understanding why she did it, I just explained. She doesn't have the best coping mechanisms, and she was injured based on your argument, and that was what she felt she needed to do to feel better. And it made her feel better temporarily. That's the closure. There's nothing more to be said about that. So sometimes people use the word closure and what they really want is just more time together, or they say closure and they want to really work it out and work it through. And if that's the case, yeah, by all means, circle back and say that was hurtful. Can you do better next time? Let's talk it out. But, you know, closure isn't really a thing, because what happened happened, and you're going to remember what happened, and it's going to get triggered, and you're not going to forget, and it'll get brought up. And so that remains. There's no way to remove that. And we have this idea that if we can talk to them again, that they can magically say something that'll make us not be in pain, but pain happened. I do like the idea of healing. And so there is room for maybe reconnecting to try to, you know, land in a place where you can both feel decently about each other. So that's reasonable, that you don't want an enemy wandering around in the world, right? So I like that idea. And I kind of want people to be more open as the person who creates the injury to doing that, right? If you injured someone, sometimes it can be very loving and thoughtful to circle back and say, look, understandably, we're not going to be together, but I just wanted to apologize for what happened so that you don't move through the world having to feel bad. But that injury can remain, right? Because we have memory, and that will be triggered with associative things. And so the damage is done. So just be really more, you know, introspective about what this concept of closure is. Like, what are you really looking for? Because often the person can't provide that. And even more importantly, someone who was as unhealthy as to do what they did to you, like what she did, they don't usually have the capacity to lovingly take ownership or accountability over what happened, which is usually what we're looking for in our closure, you know? Sliding the DMs is brought to you by our friends at Trojan Condoms, because it's a big old sex world. We want you to explore with confidence. That's our show. Y'all check out our podcast at wearechannelqradio.com. We'll see you on Monday night, because we're going to be sticking around and still giving you some stuff. So Loveline ain't going anywhere. Thanks for hanging out. Y'all have an awesome, awesome night.
Loveline
with Dr. Chris
on Channel Q.